Originally, all civil governments were under the same guidelines. Although Gentile nations proceeded under the original plan as ordained by God in the Noahic covenant, God called out Israel, a nation for himself. As you begin reading through Genesis, you find the nations given over to the worship of many gods. God therefore raises up a nation to reaffirm and teach there is but one God. God would then use that nation and people to give us the Bible, Romans 3:1-2, and to deliver us the Savior, John 4:22. As to Israel, Abraham was called out and obtained a promise of God. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And so after he," Abraham that is, "had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Hebrews 11:9 says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Since man had failed to obey God on the basis of human conscience, the restraint by the Holy Spirit, and human government, God instituted what is called by some the dispensation of promise. We read in Galatians 3:15-22, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Hebrews 6:13-15 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." God promised Abraham that he would bless him, make his name great, give him many physical descendants, make him the father of many nations, give him the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him. Genesis 12:2-3 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Genesis 13:14-17 says, "And the Lord said unto Abram," after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Genesis 22:16-18 says, "And said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." You can also look at Genesis 15 and also Genesis 17:1-22, dealing with that covenant. The Jewish patriarchs failed in the responsibilities God gave them, and judgment followed. Their responsibility was only to believe and serve God, who provided all material and spiritual resources requisite to inspire them to do this. God gave them the promised land, and blessings were guaranteed while they remained in the land. In spite of this, their future was predominated by failure. Jacob eventually led his children to Egypt, where they were enslaved. God delivered them and crushed their taskmasters. After God delivered Israel from their Egyptian oppressors, he gave them the Mosaic Law. This was, of course, before they entered the Promised Land. He dealt with them now on the basis of that law, in addition to conscience, the restraint of the Holy Spirit, civil government, and promise. This new way of dealing with man is called by some the dispensation of law. Promise and law are sharply distinguished in Galatians 3, even though the law did not annul the promise. Galatians 3:10 through 18 says, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. The Mosaic Law covered the period from Moses until the death and resurrection of Christ, or from Exodus 19:1 to Acts 1:26. Under the Mosaic Covenant, the Jews were to be responsible for keeping the whole law. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." They did not succeed in their responsibility. Romans 10:1-3 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." The result was the captivity of Judah by Babylon and the captivity of Israel by Assyria. After the Jews later rejected the Lord, they were scattered over the entire world. Jesus lamented, as we read in Matthew 23:37-39. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." All during their many periods of declension and backsliding, God dealt with the Israelites graciously, from the very first apostasy with the golden calf, when the law was being delivered to Moses, to the gracious promises of final regathering and restoration in the millennial age to come. These promises of a glorious future are guaranteed secure by the Abrahamic promises, which the law in no way abrogated. See Galatians 3:3-25. We are also told clearly in the New Testament, in Romans 3:20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, that the law was not a means of justification, but of condemnation." The law was written in stone and was a totally external way of God's administering his rule over Israel. It was an external moral restrainer. Galatians 3:23 through 25 says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." When Israel went into the promised land, she operated under a covenant directed solely to the nation Israel. All other nations, the Gentile nations, continued under the Noahic covenant. Israel entered the land given it by God under the Palestinian covenant, which was declared in Deuteronomy 30:1-10. The Palestinian covenant gives the conditions under which Israel entered the land of promise. It is important to see that the nation has never as yet taken the land under the unconditional Abrahamic covenant, nor has it ever possessed the whole land. See, for example, Genesis 15:18 along with Numbers 34:1-12. Deuteronomy 30 gives 7 parts to the Palestinian covenant. The first part of the Palestinian covenant, dispersion for disobedience. You see that in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 30. Also, you can see Deuteronomy 28:63-68. The second part of the Palestinian covenant, the future repentance of Israel while in the dispersion, Deuteronomy 32. The third, the return of the Lord, Deuteronomy 33. Also Amos 9:9-14, Acts 15:14-17. The fourth part of the Palestinian covenant, restoration to the land, Deuteronomy 35. Also Isaiah 11:11-12, Jeremiah 23:3-8, and Ezekiel 37:21-25. The fifth part of the Palestinian covenant, national conversion, Deuteronomy 36. Also Romans 11:26-27, Hosea 2:14-16. The sixth part of the Palestinian covenant, the judgment of Israel's oppressors, Deuteronomy 37. Also Isaiah 14:1-2, Joel 3:1-8, and Matthew 25:31-46. The seventh part of the Palestinian covenant, national prosperity, Deuteronomy 39. Also Amos 9:11-14. Israel was set up originally as a theocracy directly under God for God's purposes. God spoke directly to Moses, Joshua, and then the chosen judges in Israel. Israel is the only theocracy chronicled in the Word of God. Gentile nations make a choice of whether to operate under God's principles as laid down in the Bible, but God does not speak directly to them. He speaks to them only through their conscience and through His Word. The church, which God instructed to be directly under God in His principles only, is not a state, and therefore not a theocracy. The word theocracy comes from two Greek words, theos meaning God and kratos meaning ruler. Theocracy means government of a state by the immediate direction of God, or the state thus governed. Of this species, the Israelites furnish an illustrious example. The theocracy lasted till the time of Saul. God promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their seed everlasting possession of a physical land on the earth with prescribed boundaries. The Gentile nations could only look to Israel as God's chosen nation. Although Gentile nations were not directly under the leadership of God, they still had a responsibility to glorify God and rule under God or suffer the consequences. Israel's government, working in conjunction with the Jewish religious leaders, was given the responsibility to enforce all 10 of the 10 commandments, as well as all of God's moral law. The Gentile nations proceeded under the original plan laid down by God, and their highest function was the judicial taking of life, from which all other governmental powers may be implied. After a break, I will take up the specific purposes for which God called out Israel. If you're enjoying these broadcasts, you can go online to www.lwrn.net and make a contribution. All contributions go to LWRN, not to me. Please join me after the break for this week's final segment.